Welcome to Bodcast, the Business of Dentistry podcast, brought to you by Practice Plan. Bodcast delivers the best business advice, real-life stories, and practical hints and tips to make your practice a more profitable and sustainable business. And now, here's your host.
Hi, I'm Zoe Close, Practice Plan Area Sales Manager, and today's podcast we've got Sarah Buxton from FTA Law. Hi Sarah.
Hi Zoe.
How are you today?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you very much.
Excellent.
Sarah, will you just give us a little bit about your background, please? Okay.
Yeah, of course. I am a director at FTA Law. We're based in Leeds, but we act for practice owners and dentists all over the country, England and Wales, in all aspects of buying, selling and running a dental practice. I specialise in employment and HR law, so my main role is to support dental practice owners and make sure that they abide by the current legislations that are constantly changing.
Imagine. There's a lot in that, I'm sure, all of that. Today I wanted to talk about maternity.
Yeah.
Obviously in practice we get asked quite a lot of, if you've got any advice and help on that sort of topic. So I really want to ask you a few questions today, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. It's something that comes up quite often. Mm. And it can often be quite scary for the practice owner because they hear horror stories of how employees have sued employers for huge amounts, hundreds and thousands of pounds, because they've got it wrong. But that doesn't mean that as a practice owner you should bury your head in the sand. You do need to apply with certain regulations, and the most important one of them is that you should treat that individual exactly the same as the rest of the team.
Of course.
That really, I think sometimes you can, I think sometimes an employer can just become quite scared and not deal with it and tackle the situation. Something that's often missed is that when a lady becomes pregnant, they go to their doctors and they should be receive a MAP B form. Mm-hmm. That MAP B should be provided to the employer.
How many weeks is that? Sorry.
It's usually provided at the 12-week scan.
Is it? Okay.
However, the employee should really tell the practice owner, the employer, as quickly as possible, because as soon as they've told, they do become protected. Yeah. But when we say protected, what we mean is that they, as an employer, you have to abide by certain rights. And the first of those is ensuring that you do a risk assessment. That may mean that you have to change hours. Mm-hmm. It may mean that you have to change the role.
Yeah.
But something to help that lady work for as long as possible whilst being pregnant. Also, when you receive that MAP B, you can actually work out the dates of when maternity leave will start and finish.
Yeah.
And once that MAP B is provided to you, you should acknowledge it in writing, mm-hmm. and you should inform the employee of what their rights are and what they have to do. So for example, they have 52 weeks, the right to take 52 weeks. They have to take the first 2 weeks compulsory maternity leave. If an employee comes back to work within those first 2 weeks, it's actually a criminal offence.
I didn't realise that.
Yeah, absolutely. So you must encourage them to take at least 2 weeks off. And then after that, it's really at the woman's discretion. That doesn't mean that you can't ask or inquire about what their plans are.
Yeah.
So when I was talking earlier about practice owners becoming a little bit scared, they don't tend to have the conversation with, what are your plans? It doesn't mean that they can't change their plans.
Yeah.
But what it does mean is that you then have the ability to plan your business accordingly, which as a practice owner you really need to be doing.
I think the bit about the risk assessment was quite interesting, because we used to have to sort of look at roles quite keenly because of stairs and things like that.
Yes.
And people on the feet all day.
Yeah.
I'd sort of move people with surgeries around, so there wasn't going up and down the stairs as much.
Yeah.
The decon room and things like that, and just looking at duties generally sort of lower that risk.
Absolutely. I don't see a dental practice as being a high risk environment, but there is always the option that if you feel as though it is becoming too much and that you are putting the employee or colleagues at risk by her being in the practice, you can actually suspend her. Mm-hmm. It does have to be on full pay, but you can say to her, it's such a high risk environment that we no
it's
longer,
a concern, yeah.
yeah, it's a concern for you to be in the practice. Okay. But that very rarely happens in dental practices. Okay.
I mean, the other thing that obviously goes along with someone, you know, expecting is, you know, time that they need off for antenatal appointments.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about this?
This is a question that I get an awful lot. The mother does have the right to take a reasonable amount of antenatal appointments. Your next question is going to be,
what's reasonable?
Yeah. It's whatever is recommended by a health practitioner. So it can be as many as what the GP or the health practitioner says is needed in that individual's case. And antenatal, it's got a very wide definition. So it could include parent craft classes or swimming. Yoga. There's so many different aspects of what is antenatal. But what you've got to do is allow them to take it at a reasonable time. And again, you can have the conversation and try and appeal to them and ask them to maybe take it at the beginning or at the end of the working day. But ultimately, you've got to allow them. There was a change in the law where also the father of the baby is now entitled to take antenatal appointments. It doesn't have to be paid leave. It can be unpaid, but you've still got to allow the father to attend those appointments as well.
And would this be the same for self-employed associates or hygienists?
It's slightly different. With self-employed staff, they are protected from discrimination. So if you treated them differently because you found out that your associate or hygienist therapist was pregnant and wanted to take some leave, then you would always run that risk of a discrimination claim. However, the legislation is drafted for employees and workers in the practice. So you wouldn't have to do, if they wanted to take an antenatal appointment, it would be at their own time, at their own expense. You wouldn't have to pay them for that.
Okay. So the other thing we get often asked is, you know, what happens if an employee decides not to return back to work during that maternity leave?
Yeah.
You know, what can an employer actually do?
So the employee would have to serve the notice, which is in the contract of employment. So they would resign, given the notice.
What's a normal notice period?
Normal notice. Yeah. And what would happen is it would come to an end, their maternity leave. But just be careful, because their maternity pay may not come to an end at that point. You may still have to pay them. And of course, at that point, you would have to pay them any accrued but untaken holiday. They would just leave like any other employee up until that point.
Okay. So what if an employee hopefully wants to return back to work but on a part-time basis? What are the things we should consider?
It often happens that when an employee has a baby that they don't want to return full-time, they have the right to return to the same role that they left. And that means if they were full-time before they went on maternity, it's a full-time role that they have the right to return to. So that's your starting point. What I would say is, if you do get a request, that you should look at your flexible working policy, which should be found in the staff handbook, and you should always follow that procedure. We often think about flexible working as being with employees that have been on maternity, but it did change last year, and it is actually open to any member of staff who's got 26 weeks continuous service. It can be a change in hours from full-time to part-time, or a change in days, or it can be the request to work from home.
Okay.
And what you should do is consider whether that is viable for your business. I had a client who was based Manchester way, and he had six dental nurses who one after another just seemed to go on maternity, and they all made flexible working requests to come back part-time, and he'd granted them all flexible working. And then came to me afterwards and said, I don't know what to do. They're all over the place, and it's really difficult for me to keep track of what's happening. And the associates aren't happy because they never know which dental nurse they're having. And I said, well, why did you grant them all flexible work? And why did you say yes to them all? And he said, oh, I thought I had to because they've gone on maternity. That's quite difficult then to sort out afterwards. If he'd have come to me earlier for advice, I could have said to him, you don't have to provide them with flexible working. It's on a first come, first served basis. And if it doesn't suit your business, you can say no to them. There's a procedure to go through. So you do have to be careful that you go through the correct procedure. But ultimately, the outcome of that, if it doesn't suit your business, is that you can't offer those working hours. A good example of a practice that I've just been through flexible working with is that the employee who had gone maternity was working 8:30 until 6 Monday to Friday on reception. And she made a request to work 9:30 till 5 because she could drop the child off at childcare. Okay, but obviously, 8:30 till 9 on a Monday morning, one of the busiest times.
How can you run a business with that?
Absolutely. And you can't recruit somebody just for half an hour. So the response had to be, I'm sorry, we can't provide that. And unfortunately, she had to hand in a notice because it didn't suit her. But the practice owner hasn't done anything wrong in those circumstances. But it is often the case that there's a panic because
I think that's the thing. It's not really knowing what you know what you can do, so they often just decide to just go with what they the employee wants to do, and then get themselves in a situation where it's impacting the business.
Yeah, and I do think it's because we hear so many scary stories in the news about women who have been discriminated upon, and it does happen. But it doesn't mean that that should dictate how you run your business. And at the end of the day, you've got to run a profitable business with a happy team. And if it doesn't suit your business at the time, the legislation recognises that although we want to protect women that have gone off on maternity, we also want to ensure that we have a really good business that's got to make money at the end of it. But all I would say is with anything with employment, whether it's maternity, flexible working, is that there's always a procedure to follow. So you must ensure that you make decisions following a procedure. What I should also point out about maternity is that there was a change last year where they introduced shared parental leave, where the man or the father can take some of the woman's maternity leave.
Yeah,
and they can share.
They
can share the maternity provisions. It's really interesting because I think culturally and socially we're not there yet where the father wants to take maternity leave. I act for hundreds of practices and I've had one request to deal with it. But they're talking about also introducing grandparent leave so that the grandparents can take some of the mother's maternity leave. So watch this space. It's changing again.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah, definitely.
And it will be really interesting to see how that unfolds because I can imagine a lot more grandparents wanting to take the leave rather than the fathers.
I think from what you've told me, Sarah, I think it's important that practices just really try and understand as much as they can about sort of what they can do and what they should be considering. But there's lots of options, isn't there?
There's lots of options. And I think the scary element of it is how quickly it changes. So do make sure that you keep up to date with it. And as soon as you have that conversation with the employee and they tell you that they're pregnant, take advice and just say, this has happened. What are my options and what's my next best move? Don't bury your head in the sand.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.